Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:30 p.m. Eastern, April 1st, 2020. The purpose of this show is to bring forth the teachings of Edward Albert Meyer. We are currently in the Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken, on page 270. And I want to read a little something that has to do with the topic of this show, Signs That War Is Coming to America. Anxiety has nothing to do with fear, because fear is based upon things which are completely different from unknown factors. Fear, namely, arises as a result of the human being shrinking back from certain into him or her known things, facts, events, and experiences, undertakings, acts, deeds, and thoughts, as well as feelings, and manifold other elements and matters, because he or she is shy of, that is to say, fears the arising or expected consequences, whereby it is to do with consequences which are known or which can be foreseen. With fear, known factors therefore play a role, while with anxiety, the triggering factor is unknown. So, fear occurs from known things, where anxiety comes from the unknown. As already explained, the normal method for liberation from anxiety is based on fathoming those factors of the unknown which are responsible for the anxiety. However, this fathoming and resulting outcomes require long and patient use of the laws of the consciousness. So, when we're dealing with anxiety, we're dealing with things that are unknown. And the key to dealing with anxiety is to figure out what the unknown aspect of that is, to get to the bottom of things. Now, when you're doing that, you really have to think in a neutral, positive, equalized, balanced form. So you're not thinking negative, and you're not thinking too positive either, maybe just a slight bit to the positive. And the further one of these laws is based on self-liberation. Okay, let me step back a minute. One of the laws is the practice of self-cognition and self-realization. So during this whole process, you're going to learn more about yourself. I'm going to learn more about myself. And the further one of these laws is based on self-liberation, which must be used to such a degree that the human being frees himself or herself from all these negative wrong ideas and habits and so forth. You might remember when we were talking, I guess it's been about a week or so ago, we were talking about these grooves that form in the consciousness from the maintenance of wrong ideas, wrong habits, wrong viewpoints, wrong thoughts. They leave behind deep grooves in the consciousness which must be slowly repaired again and made to disappear. And when you start that process of repairing your consciousness, the negative, bad, unhealthy, wrong tendencies thereby naturally protest wildly. That's the material consciousness. So just as a super quick review, we have a spiritual consciousness and a material consciousness. The material consciousness is who you are this lifetime. It can be anxious. The material consciousness can be fearful. The material consciousness is vulnerable. The spirit form, the spiritual consciousness, never has any anxiety. Never has fear, and it is always in neutral, positive equalized balance. Now, the spirit form is the part of you which never dies. The material consciousness will die, and the spirit form will leave the body and take the material consciousness with it, and it will go into the spirit realm. And we all have this little storage bank, you could call it, called the overall consciousness block. And in there, the spirit form works through everything that the material consciousness has learned. And it creates these evolutive values like wisdom and love and your ability to think logically and problem solve, and your optimism, your confidence, your ability to remain relaxed. All these things are processed into what are called evolutive values, and they're programmed into your subconsciousness. Because a new subconscious is being created, a new material consciousness is being created in the spirit realm during the death phase. In the death phase, there's still striving. There's still work over there in the death phase. Where are you at? You're kind of in a energy band that exists on the planet that you die on. So the planet that you die on is the planet that you reincarnate on, according to the Meyer information. Now, a lot of people don't like that idea, but I think it's just one of these creational natural laws. So most people's spirit forms here on the Earth are about 4 to 6 million years old. So you've been reincarnating for 4 to 6 million years on Earth. Now, there are some spirit forms that are as old as 12 million years, which are still is a young spirit form. But those are people that came to the Earth in ships in ancient times, like during the time of Atlantis and Lemuria. We had a very advanced society on the Earth. It's been a while ago, let's say. And those people that died on the Earth enter into the reincarnational patterns of Earth. So what is the point of reincarnation? The point of reincarnation is that it gives the spirit form time to evolve. And there are 7 stages to this evolution. And in the first 5 stages, we have a physical body. So 21 days after this, the egg is fertilized in the mother, there's a creational law again that takes place where the spirit form enters the body of this little embryo. It's only 21 days old, and it brings with it a new material consciousness. So the material consciousness is who you are going to be this lifetime. Now, the material consciousness is kind of threatened by the spirit form's evolution. As the spirit form evolves, the material consciousness, if it's going to continue its evolution, it evolves during that lifetime, and it learns as much as it should learn as much as it can. It will receive quiet impulses of wisdom from the spirit form. So you have these two consciousnesses in you. You have who you are this lifetime. You're a certain age. You know, you were born just like everyone else. And you have a personality. But you have another consciousness that is based on your spirit form. Your spirit form is the part of you that never dies. And it will send impulses of wisdom to the material consciousness. These impulses are direction determining. So it will help the material consciousness if it pays attention, which a lot of times it doesn't, if it pays attention to these quiet impulses of wisdom, it will change course. It will make certain decisions. So the whole goal of maintaining equalized balance in your thinking, the neutral positive thinking, is to pay attention to these impulses of wisdom and to be neutral positive. The spirit form, the spiritual consciousness, is always neutral positive. The universal consciousness is always neutral positive. Like if you go into a forest, if you've ever had the experience of feeling that kind of beautiful neutral energy that comes from creation, it's the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And this spirit energy that comes out of creation is literally an expression. It is like the wisdom of the universe. The universal consciousness is just, this is so hard for people, including myself, to wrap my mind around. The universal consciousness really doesn't have a personality like a dog or a cat, for example, or a human. And in the course, what I'm reading from, this information that I'm giving you comes from the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. And the book we're looking at right now is just called The Might of Thoughts, Mach der Gedanken. But the Meyer writings teach that, and they're written originally in German. And there are two German terms which cannot be translated very well into English because the meaning is lost. One is called Wesen, a dog, a cat, all animals. You know, even the dolphins and the whales, every animal like that is a Wesen. It has a personality. It has self-determination. Look at a cat. If there's ever a creature that had self-determination, it's the cat. They mostly do what they want to do. And the human is that way too. Now, when I talk about the universal consciousness, it is really bound to the creational natural laws of the universe, one of which is striving that we've been talking about for the past few episodes. Striving is a creational natural law. You have to work. And the more you are willing to strive and work, the more satisfaction, delectation, happiness you can have. You'll have more of a sense of life. You'll have a purpose to your life. You won't be aimless. When you cut back from your striving, you lose your sense of purpose, and it causes all kinds of psychological problems with the human being. Many depressions are a side effect of this creational natural law that you have to be striving. So if you have to be continually striving, and I mean in all areas, which is including cleaning your house, organizing your closet, cleaning your garage, doing your day job, working out, everything is part of the striving. Every productive thing is part of that striving. If you're not engaged in these activities, if you emphasize things like entertainment or sex or drugs or rock and roll, whatever, you know, entertainment, fun, and you pursue this, it can lead to a great sense of darkness that falls over people. And it's because they're violating a creational natural law, and they can probably sense something in their subconscious or their unconscious that's telling them that something is wrong. And all they really have to do is get to work. The other creational natural law is called harmony. We have to be in a neutral, positive, equalized balance in terms of our thinking. Kind of a neutral positive, no negative thoughts, or I should say there are some negative thoughts, but they're balanced with all the positive thoughts. Be very careful about your negative thoughts so that they can run out of control and they can form what's called a vicious cycle where you literally can't control your thoughts. It's very difficult. If you find yourself in that vicious negative thinking cycle, use what's called a wish dream. Think about a pleasant time with one of your pets or your spouse, or a time when you were walking in the forest, or just something completely neutral. You were raking the leaves in your yard, or raking the straw, or jogging, or something neutral. And bring yourself to back to a neutral, positive thinking. So anyway, I've been talking about things that are written in this wonderful book, Might Have Thoughts, and we've been talking about dealing with anxiety. And I want to bring you some information that comes from naturalnews.com. This is some of the things that Mike Adams has been talking about. I recommend, if you get a chance, go to pandemic.news for the latest on the coronavirus and what's going on. It's some pretty stunning stuff, but not easy to digest. Just a warning. Here are some signs that we might be headed towards war. President Trump activated 1 million military reservists with medical skills to treat battlefield injuries. Details of this order are found in text at whitehouse.gov. It's called EO text. I'm not sure what that is. Sign two, the Pentagon ordered high-level staffers into deep underground bunkers in Colorado. This was announced by NORAD and NORTHCOM in a Facebook town hall meeting. So there's some reason why military staffers are in a 2,000-foot deep bunker. It's probably not just because of the virus. Secretary of State Pompeo just ordered that all Americans living overseas return to the U.S. immediately. The cover story for this is that the coronavirus is collapsing international flights, but that alone would not justify all Americans returning from living overseas. Anyway, on this note, I want to share with you a little bit that we talked about yesterday. And this involves a journalist called J.R. Nyquist, who works at a paper called Epoch Times. And he has been studying China for years. And I'll read this quickly, and then I'll get back to the Meyer spiritual teachings. It says here, the real reason for this call-up, for this discussion between Mike Adams and J.R. Nyquist, is that the Pentagon knows that the coronavirus is just the opening salvo of a new world war. Now, I'm putting this information out. I don't have the stamp of approval on it. I'm just putting this out, so take it with a grain of salt. The opening salvo of a new world war that was initiated by China to crush America and achieve world domination. The 1 million reservists are being activated because the Pentagon expects battlefield casualties on a large scale. Again, I don't know that for sure. I'm passing this on because I think there's enough truth to it that it's worth paying attention to. China has planned for decades to release biological warfare agents on the United States. Let me explain this. The following text explains this. The general that was the defense minister of China from 1993 to 2003 gave a speech somewhere near the end of his tenure. The speech was translated into English by Epoch Times, this newspaper that J.R. Nyquist works for. The coronavirus is a biological weapon that was released by mistake. The Chinese made a deal with Russia several decades ago, which allowed Russia to take Canada and Alaska. I guess what this General Qi said in this discussion was that the Chinese and the Russians are planning to attack the U.S. I know that sounds crazy. Russia to attack Canada and Alaska, and the China would go after the lower 48 states. And General Qi said that they needed to clean up the U.S. by paralyzing it economically with a biological weapon. The occupying troops would be immune at the time of the invasion. So And I just want to end this section by saying, don't panic, don't fear, don't have anxiety. This show is not designed to bring you anxiety. That's not what I want to do. Socialism and communism are a kind of modern religion today. And socialism is running Google, YouTube, the medical community, banks, Hollywood. And the left is leading the new religion in America. And I believe it's the Chi-Coms who are in bed with the deep state. And they've taken over the media and the colleges. So anyway, that's all the gloom and doom today, I promise you. Back to the Meyer teachings. We were looking at the book, Might of Thoughts, Mach der Gedanken, right at around page 270, although I jumped around a little bit. I started talking about reincarnation, which is a creational natural law. We talked about love. I think I talked about love, which is, I call it the first creational law. There's really no order to these that I know of. I love this passage that says, love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. And love will forever be the purpose of our existence. It's just beautiful, beautiful. This universal consciousness, it radiates love. Nature radiates love. You can see your cat, your dog, your puppy, your kitten. They radiate love. Love is not romantic, not true love. Effective love is live and help live. It's our commonality with all things. It's what binds us together. And we're really all one. Everything in the universe is one, really. And we're all evolving. And we are put on planets to evolve. And there are seven evolutionary steps. I think the first step is what they call primitive life. And then we're on Earth. We get rational life on the Earth, most of us. The third stage is intelligent life. The fourth stage, you could call it real life, I guess. And there's this long description of what it is in the Meyer teachings. I tried to shorten it so I could remember. Stage five is life and creational wisdom. That's, again, kind of my term for it. And it's in stage five, we have what's called the age of recognitions too. And at that point, we're able to see our past lives in much more clarity. Right now, usually you do not follow or understand your past life unless there is some trauma that cut your life short or something like that. Sometimes that'll bleed over into the next life. And usually it goes away. The child, when it becomes 7, 8, 9 years old, we usually forget. Now, there's a guy, I think his name was James Leiniger. I can't remember exactly. And he was a boy, and I think it was in the 70s. He was growing up, I'm guessing. And he had vivid memories of World War II. This is a little 3-year-old boy. He knew the plane he flew. He flew the Corsair, that big blue Corsair with the gull wings. It was really fast. It came in at the end of the war to shoot down the kamikazes and things like that. Well, he said he flew a Corsair. And this little boy, 3 years old, is telling his dad about this. And he tells his dad, well, we used to blow out our tires a lot because the plane was pretty heavy and our tires weren't that good, which is a historical fact from World War II. And the boy then also explains that the name of the aircraft carrier that he was on was called the Potomac Bay, which I think it was one of the smaller ones. And then the boy went on to tell the names of the other soldiers, of the other officers that he served with. But the trauma that this young boy had was that he kept reliving over and over again when he was shot down by AAA, and his his Corsair crashed into the ocean, and he was probably burned, maybe burned to death. But he finally, his father took him to meet the people that he knew their name, you know, the other officers that served on the Potomac Bay. It was a very interesting story. Another thing that happens with reincarnation, again, which is a creational natural law, one of the laws of the universe, like striving, like the law of harmony, maintaining harmony in your thoughts, like love, which is brotherly love, neighborly love, non-romantic love. And then there's a very interesting creational natural law called system and order. And if you do those four things, they tend to work together and your life tends to go well. Now, system and order means you do things at a specific time during the day, da 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 da. You have a kind of a habit, a system that you follow step by step by step. And it's structure. We're designed to have structure. Sometimes it gets old. Sometimes it's kind of a bummer to deal with, but we're designed to have structure. And it's important to have that structure to your life. It's part of the creational natural laws. And the law we've been focused on in this book mostly is the law of harmony. So how to get rid of anxiety? Well, you have to get to the bottom of the anxiety-creating unknown. In order to recognize in it all its facts whereby the anxiety dissolves. So when you get to the point where you can figure out what's bothering you, then try to learn as much as you can about it. And then the anxiety will dissolve, because the human being is not anxious about that which he or she really knows and understands. Only factors of the unknown trigger anxiety, because the human being does not know how to defend himself or herself against them. However, if he or she knows of a danger or some other thing which brings harm, then normally he or she creates powers in him or herself in order to counter the terrible things to the appropriate degree and in order to protect himself or herself. He or she only does not do that which he or she is weak in label. Consequently, he or she is then overcome by fear. The human being should never endeavor to impress him or herself or others by means of his or her beliefs or by means of his or her intellectual learnedness. Rather, he should do it by means of the effective truth of the spiritual knowledge. This namely contains the real truth of the creational laws and recommendations, and with that the effective guidelines of life and of the evolution connected. Well, we only have about 90 seconds left in the show. Wow, did time fly or what? We've been studying the book called Macht der Gedanken, The Might of Thoughts. Another great book you can get is called Die Art zu Leben, or The Way to Live. Another great book is called The Psyche, but that talks more about the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness in a little more detail. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks. I'm going to try to be consistent with these. Hang in there. Don't let anxiety overcome you. We'll catch you next time. Have a good evening.